How are you today? Let's get our Bibles out. Did you enjoy worshiping the Lord? Amen. I love worship. I love to be in God's presence. And I'm so glad we have two services. Sometimes I wish we had three so we could do it three times. Amen. I didn't say you had to come to all three. Take it easy. I got it. So we're in the book of Daniel. We've been in Daniel. This is our fifth part of our series. Every time we jump into a section, Lord, I remind us all that Daniel is a historical book, and in the chapter 7, it turns into a prophetic book. The prophetic implications of the book of Daniel coincide perfectly with the book of Revelation, so it's very relevant for us now. The things that God revealed to Daniel, to Nebuchadnezzar, dreams and visions and things, all have implications in the last days. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a theologian to realize the times are dark and we live in the last days. Amen. There's nothing preventing Jesus from coming back and getting his bride. There's no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. There's nothing that needs to be done. We need to live right and live ready because Jesus is coming to take back his bride. Amen. So we're in Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 19 through 30 in just a minute. Let's thank God for his word. Then we'll hear these verses and we'll allow the Holy Spirit to unpack them to us. Father, I thank you this morning for this group of believers, Lord, that comes to your house on the Lord's day to worship you and to sit under the word. Father, I pray that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit today, that each of us would get a deposit from you as you make the book of Daniel come alive for us. Give us the wisdom and the principles and the prophetic insights that are relevant to the days that we live in and the times that we live in. And Father, I pray you do all this by the Holy Spirit, that we would have something to apply to our lives, that we would be able to be hearers and doers of the word. And so pleasing you, I pray it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, may the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and appoints kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to people of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him. To you, God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you are made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Thereupon, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to kill the wise men of Babylon. He went and said to him, do not kill the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. I have found a man among the exiles of Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the secret about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, sorcerers, soothsayers, priests, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days, that this was your dream and the vision in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turned to what would take place in the future, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living person, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. powerful verses. God is beginning to use Daniel, use the gifts that he put in him. And verse 19 serves as great news. How many people like great news? I mean, good news is good, but great news is better. Amen. Have you ever gotten bad news? Only to find out there was worse news. And then eventually you turned off the news. Right? So I don't know. Sometimes you can't even watch anymore. It seems like the righteous are on their heels and the wicked are getting victory after victory. And we say, God, where are you? And I want to say something to you today. God is on the throne. Amen. God is in charge. And God is in control of everything. You say, well, how come it looks like everything's falling apart? It's not falling out apart. It's falling into place. It's falling into place. God, give us eyes to see it. So here's some great news for Daniel and his team who went into the presence of God and sought for an answer to the king's question. Remember, the king said, look, all you wise people and you conjurers and sorcerers and diviners, I'm not telling you what my dream was. You tell me what my dream was and give me the interpretation. This created a problem because they didn't have the spiritual ability to do that because there were fakes and frauds and smoke and mirrors and they just didn't have it. And so their lives were on the line because the king was so mad that this group that he trusted to advise him were clueless in one of the most desperate crises of his life. You see, it had made him anxious. He needed an answer. It had taken his sleep away. And now he is so furious with these guys that have nothing but excuses for him that he orders all of them killed. And the great news is, in verse 19, that God responded to Daniel and gave him the answer to the king's question that would save all of their lives. Then the secret, verse 19, was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now, I want you to see what happens here. Daniel takes his team, the other three young men who had faith in the God who created the heavens and the earth, those Hebrews that came with him into captivity, and he takes them. Why? Because there's a crisis. So what does he do? He gets his team with them, and they pray, and they intercede, and God answers. I encouraged you last week that if you don't have a team, get a team. Why? Because crises are going to visit your life. You need people you can call at a moment's notice who are spiritually mature, who know how to get the mind of Christ, who know the word of God, who can get on their knees and assault heaven with you and for you so that you can survive crises. Look, if you're a lone ranger, if you think you can do it all by yourself, you're about to find out that you can't. We need each other. God made us a body. God help us if we isolate ourselves. We become easy pickings for the devil. So he gets his team and he gets on his knees and he cries out to God in intercession. And the God of heaven answers, and he does so by way of a vision in the night. Now listen to me. God speaks to him as he speaks to us, and he gives him a vision, so he gives him the answer to the question. And I want to say something to you today. No matter what any doubter says, no matter what the atheist says, no matter what the agnostic says, or any devil in hell, I want you to know something. God still speaks to those who have relationship with him. Come on, I want to say it again. God still speaks to those who have relationship with him. If you say, well, God never speaks to me, you need to get on your knees. You need to get right with God. You need to get your ears on, because God will speak to you if you cultivate a relationship with him. Amen? And there are those who say, well, God doesn't speak anymore. God doesn't talk to us. God won't give you a vision. He won't give you, you just have to muddle your way through life. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, if you're a child of God today and God has spoken to you in the crises of your life and given you the wisdom you absolutely needed it to make through, I want you to put your hands together and give praise to God. Amen. God speaks to those who have relationship with him. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow after me. If Jesus wasn't speaking, if the Holy Spirit wasn't speaking, if God in heaven wasn't speaking, how could we hear his voice? Jesus said, what? My sheep hear my voice. Who are his sheep? Those who have relationship with him. Acts 2:17 says this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, say last days. We're going to hear about the last days in Daniel as we unpack these verses. It'll come to pass in the last days what? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Listen, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The prophetic flow of heaven is on the increase in these last days, amen. God is speaking to his people. God is giving his people insight and understanding. You say, who? Those who have relationship with him. Those who have their ears tuned into him. Those who drowned out the things of the world that drowned out the voice of God. And what does it say? What? That, you know, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. It looks like I'm scheduled to get dreams instead of visions. You know, the older you get, more sleep. That's what it is. We sleep more, so that's when God's got to talk to us. But God is speaking. God still speaks to those who have relationship with him. And he spoke to Daniel, and he heard their intercession, and he gave them a vision in the night and revealed all the secrets of the king's dream. Now, in verse 20 through 23, we see Daniel's response to the good news that arrives, the answer to the question that's going to save everybody's life. His response is a response of praise and worship and an appreciative heart. Amen. He's thankful. Why? Because he gets to live. He's thankful. Why? Because God heard his cry and responded to him. Amen. Look, nothing feels better than when we cry out to God and we know that he answers us. If God has ever answered you in a moment of desperation, you know that the reflex is to praise him and to thank him and to be grateful for the fact that he still speaks to those who have relationship with him. Verse 20 through 23, Daniel just begins to pour out praise and thanksgiving. He says in verse 20 here, Daniel said, may the name of God be blessed forever and ever. Listen, for wisdom and power belong to him. So he praises God for his attributes. What? That God has wisdom and God has power, and he's the source of those things. In verse 21, he shows us what? That God is in complete control of the affairs of man. Listen to verse 21 here. It is he who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and appoints kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to people of understanding. I want to tell you something today. God is in complete control. God is in complete control. I know it seems like things are spinning out of control. I know that it looks like the world is out of control and things are getting worse and things are getting dark. And you walk into the grocery store and the prices have doubled. And you go to the gas pump and you're like, it's too much. And you look at everything and you think, what's going on? God's in control. God causes kings to rise and to fall. He's in charge of the affairs of man. Listen, we're not in charge. Man's not in charge. Well, we voted that way. No, God is in charge. He causes kings to rise and to fall. Amen. He's in charge of all these things. You might look around at the nations and go, why do we have such poor leadership at this time? Why do we have, you know, basically people who are incompetent running the nations? And listen, it's God getting people's attention because he gives people with wrong hearts, wrong leaders. Sometimes a leader is judgment. Sometimes a leader is punishment. Israel refused to obey God, refused to repent, and God sent them into captivity for 400 plus years. Now, I know this doesn't preach and give you goosebumps and fill up seats, but God is in control. And don't you for a moment get scared. Don't you for a moment doubt the fact that it's not falling apart, but it's fallen into place. He knows everything. Verse 22 proves, Daniel says, it is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in darkness, and the light dwells in him. He knows everything. You can't hide anything from God. He knows the intents of man. He knows the purpose. Listen, he knows the motivation of each of us. Well, I hid it in the dark. Well, he's the light, and he illuminates it and looks right in. Every man's heart lays bare naked before the eyes of the Lord. He's in control. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. All of his divine attributes. Verse 23, praise and thanks go to God for hearing the desperate cry that was coming from Daniel and his team. And verse 23 kind of sums that up for us. To you, God, my Father, I give thanks and praise. There it is. For you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you. There it is. God, we asked and you answered, and we praise you for that. You have made known to us the king's matter. Yes. You know, sometimes this is a desperate situation, and it's time sensitive. The people who were dispatched to kill the wise men by Nebuchadnezzar, they're actually en route to do that. And I want you to see the significance of praise and worship. Though it's time sensitive and there's a lot at stake, Daniel takes the time to praise God before he tries to rectify the situation. And it's important for us to see that. Why? Because listen to me, sometimes you and I need to just stop everything. We need to stop looking at our circumstances. We need to stop, you know, trying to figure it out in our own intellect. We need to stop complaining, and we need to stop and thank God for his blessing in our lives. Amen. I love it. Doubt and fear and anxiety and stress cannot exist in the midst of praise. It's like the songs we sang this morning. Amen. When we praise God, it chases all of that away. So we got to stop and we got to thank God with thankful hearts and just, you know, be thankful for all that he's done for us. No, we're not perfect. No, it's not easy. No, not everything's going our way. But listen to me, God's in control and he's given us every blessing. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. In fact, I'll ask you a question today. How many of you out there, despite the condition of the world and the economy and the everything, God has met all your needs and you lack nothing? Amen. Come on, give him praise this morning, if that's true in your life. I've heard people say, I don't know how we're making it. I don't know, but God's got us. I talked to an old saint that I hadn't seen in 20 years the other day, and they're saying we're challenged, and it doesn't add up, but God's taking care of us, and every month we make it, and somehow we're provided for. Come on. That's the God we serve. He changes water into wine. He takes that meal barrel. It never runs out. He'll bring ravens to bring us food if he needs to. God will take care of us. So when was the last time you just stopped everything and thanked God? When was the last time you just threw your head back and began to praise him? Amen. Stop looking at your circumstance. Stop looking at the negatives. Amen. And praise God right through the storm. Amen. Amen. That's for somebody today. Verse 24, Daniel shows good character and compassion. As he responds to this situation, he hears from God, he praises God, and then the first thing he does is he shows that he has good character and compassion. Why? Because immediately what he does is he doesn't just go, you know, do what he's supposed to do so he can get the rewards that were promised. No, he actually goes to bat for all the spiritual frauds who couldn't answer the king's question. I want you to see this here in verse 24 because it tells a lot about Daniel's character and the implications are for us to apply to our own lives. Listen, it says, thereupon Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to kill the wise men of Babylon. He went to him and said, do not kill the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. So I want you to see with a sense of urgency, he approaches Arioch, and he tells him, look, don't kill these guys. Don't execute them. Take me into the king. I've got the answer. I can stop this in its tracks. Now, I want you to just stop and think for a second. Why would anyone do this? Some of you are so holy, you can't even think selfish. But I'm going to help you. Why a self-centered person would not be going to bat for the spiritual frauds that couldn't answer the question. They'd be promoting themselves as the one who answered the question, who was able to do it. A self-centered person would be drooling over all the prospects of getting the honor and the notoriety and the monetary rewards that the king promised. The king said, I'll make you rich. I'll give you title. I'll give you all this stuff if you tell me the dream and give me the interpretation. A self-centered person would be like, all right, I got the answer. It's all mine. Listen, but that's not Daniel. Daniel goes to bat for those spiritual flaws. And I want you to see something. Not only doesn't he get self-centered about taking all the glory and the accolades and the money, he, at the same time, you know, he looks at these guys who are about to be executed, and he doesn't think, well, this is my golden opportunity to eliminate all my competition. Think about it, Lou. He'd be the only wise guy left. Him and his team. And all the competition would be dead. That's a tempting proposition for a lot of people. Amen. If you could be promoted, if you could be rich, if you could be in charge, if you could have all the glory and have all your competition eliminated. There are some people who would step on their own mother's knuckles to get up the ladder of success. Selfish, self-centered. You know, yeah, I can wipe out the competition. All I got to do is shut up and say nothing. And you know, when they come to me, I'll say, bring me to the king. I got the answer. But he doesn't do that. He goes to bat for the spiritual frauds whose lives were on the line. And you might think, well, why did he do that? Because he had just received the answer to the dilemma from God as an act of mercy. It was God's mercy that he answered Daniel. And Daniel wanted to extend that mercy to others. You see, you and I need to learn from this. Why? Because we have been extended mercy from God. He's forgiven all our sins. He has taken away our reproach. He has covered us in the blood of Jesus. He has given us the gift of eternal life. Come on, I'm waiting for somebody to shout. I think there's got to be a couple Christians out there. Amen? Were you waiting for me to say something better? I just said you're not going to hell for eternity. Man, that's good news to me. Amen? I've been forgiven, amen. We've received mercy. How could we not extend mercy to others after we've received mercy? How could we not extend grace to others when we receive grace? So Daniel's got good character. He is a godly man. He is under control with his ego and his pride, and he doesn't want to eliminate his competition. He doesn't want all the glory and the rewards. No, he thinks about others first. Wow. We all know that most people have a little bit of trouble with a thing called pride. Amen. Now, don't raise your hand. Look around the room as if it was somebody else. We've been known from time to time to have issues with our egos. We think about ourselves first. I always use the illustration of if we could see if we have ego issues, if when we see a group picture, who do we look for first in the picture? Who do you look for first? Oh, my wife. No, you don't. You look for yourself. You want to see if you closed your eyes or if your zipper was down. You want to figure it out, you know. All of us have an ego to deal with. All of us have pride to deal with. And God understands that that's human nature, but God wants to take his people and put things in them that will allow them to transcend those fleshly pitfalls that all of us struggle with. But all of us deal with pride, and Daniel is showing here that he doesn't deal with pride in that way. He thinks of others before himself, and his ego is under control, and his pride is checked. Amusement park designers planned to make a ride, and the name of the ride was the Ego Trip. They marketed the ride as the ride that's all about you. So you could go to seven flags, six flags. How many flags they got now? Huh? I don't know. I'm out of flags. But anyway, you can go there and you could ride this ride called the Ego Trip. Now, the ride would use the rider's names, photos of the rider, and even voice clips from the rider to totally personalize the experience. It would start with the paparazzi in the red carpet, and they'd be snapping pictures of you with adoring fans yelling your name. And then the riders would go to their own movie premieres and visit museums with pictures of themselves there. They would attend political rallies where the crowds would yell their name and ask them to run for president. They'd go to sporting events and receive trophies for their athletic prowess. Finally, they would enjoy a ticker tape parade in their honor, and then they would be whisked away into the gift shop where they could buy all kinds of merchandise and swag with their faces on it. What's everyone's favorite subject? The creators of the ride said, themselves, of course. This ride would take that to the next level. Now, I don't think they ever built the ride, but at the same time, I think the line would wrap around the block for that ride. Because people love to be the center of attention. And they love to have their ego stroke. And they love, listen, and it's just like Satan. He wanted to be God. And pride was the original sin. And none of us are immune to it. But Daniel proves that he's better than this. He's willing to pass on the mercy of God that he'd received and extend it to others who didn't deserve it. But he cares for them and he extends grace to them. Now, Daniel's next response to Arioch was, take me to the king. In verse 25, Arioch does exactly that. He takes him to the king and he gives him a sterling introduction. This is what Arioch says. I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. Now, I want you to see this, you know, not just as part of the story to keep it moving along. This is an indication, again, of the great favor that's on Daniel's life. No, you know, Arioch was under no, Arioch didn't have to listen to Daniel. He didn't have to do what he said. Listen, Arioch could have killed him on the spot. Daniel was one of the wise men. He ran to Arioch. Arioch would say, hey, well, good to see you. But no, he doesn't. Why? Because of the favor of God on Daniel's life. He doesn't kill him. He listens to him. And then Arioch, who's in charge, instead of, you know, doing what the king told him, he hurries to do what Daniel's asked him to do. You've got to see this as great favor. When we have those who owe us nothing doing our bidding for some reason, it's the favor of God on our lives. So Arioch hurries up and gets him into the king's presence. And not only does he do that, he doesn't just say, oh, king, here's one of the wise men who wants to say something. No, he vouches for him and gives him, you know, he gives him this sterling introduction. I found a man. Hey, king, I got a guy. And he can answer the question, and he can tell you what your dream was, and he can give you the interpretation. So Arioch basically vouches for him. You know, and you might think, this is an incredible level of favor on Daniel's life, and you'd be right to notice that. And if you're asking yourself, well, man, that's awesome. I'd love to have that level of favor on my life. Have you ever wondered, you know, in times when maybe things don't go your way or you don't get noticed or you just, you know, you're having a hard time. Man, where's the favor of God? Come on, don't get fake on me now. Where's it? God, where's your favor? You know, I'm struggling. I'm doing my best and it's not going my way. In fact, it went from, you know, it's getting worse. And you might think, well, where's the favor of God? And if you're ever out there thinking, man, I'd love to have the kind of favor of God on my life that Daniel has, I want to tell you how to get it. There's three ways how to get it. Are you ready? Be 100% sold out to Jesus. Be 100% committed to what God has called you to do. And be 100% submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's how you have the uncommon favor of God on your life. Be 100% sold out for Jesus. Look, it's the 100%er that has God's favor. It's not 75, it's not 90, it's not 50-50, half in the world, half in the kingdom of God. No, it's the person who's 100% sold out to Jesus. Amen. You want God's favor? I want God's favor. I got to be 100% sold out to Jesus. I've got to be 100% committed to the call of God on my life. I can't be doing your thing and my thing and the world's thing and then a little bit of God's thing. This is what costs us the favor of God. Why? Because I'm not doing kingdom things. I'm building my own kingdom. I'm not doing his will. I'm doing my will. 100%. Sold out to Jesus, 100% committed to God's call on your life, 100% submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes we're not where the blessing and the glory and the good things are poured out because we're not in the right place at the right time. And the reason we're not in the right place at the right time is because we're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he went the opposite direction. He was in the wrong place. And he had a hard time getting swallowed up by a great fish. And you know the whole story of Jonah. Listen, you and I have to submit ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't just do what we want. We're not autonomous. We don't just have our own way.
Yeah. 100%
sold out to Jesus, doing the will of God, submitting to the Holy Spirit. That's the recipe for having the favor of God rest upon our lives. Well, Daniel's brought into the king's presence. He's about to speak. He's about to do what the Lord put on his heart. But I want to point out one thing before we unpack any of that. I want to point out this. The king is not in a very good mood at this time. Have you ever had to talk to somebody and you knew they were not in a good mood? Don't get quiet on me, married people now. Like pulling teeth sometimes. We got to have this conversation. Uh-oh, and it's not a good day, but we got to do it. I got to talk to the boss right now, and he's in a bad mood, but, you know, now I got to do it. Yeah. If you've ever had to stand before someone who is not in a good space, their mind is a mess and they're upset, the king is ticked right now. He's actually flown into a murderous rage. He's disgusted by the spiritual frauds who were his servants who could not execute what he required, and he's ordered them all put to death. And SEAL Team 6 is on its way to their houses, and they're about to hit their targets and take them out. The king's not in a good mood. So I want to say, you don't make an angry king wait or, you know, come before them with too many words and expect them to settle down. And in verse 26, we see proof of the king's mental state, because this is the way he addresses Daniel. He speaks to Daniel with laser focus. Look what he says. The king said to Daniel, "Hey, Daniel, how you doing? How's the wife and kids? How you feeling today? You look a little gaunt. You eat anything? You want to drink?" Thank you. No, he didn't say that. He said, "Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Talk about getting right to the point. No social graces, no beating around the bush, no pleasantries. Look, are you able to know that? Do you know the dream? You got the answer. Are you going to come before me and give me more excuses? Because I'm not in the mood. And Daniel's response is calculated in a way, and it's a little bit dangerous because the king wants a quick answer, and he's not in the mood. And in verse 26 and 27, we see Daniel gives Nebuchadnezzar a response that's not designed to quickly answer his question or not designed to quickly, you know, show that Daniel's the man. It's designed to get the wise men whose necks are on the chopping block off the proverbial hook. Listen to 26 and 27. The king said to Daniel, who is Belshazzar, "Are you able? Do you know the dream? Can you give me the interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the secret about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, nor sorcerers, nor soothsayers, or priests, or diviners are able to declare it to the king." Now listen, what he basically just said was everything the other guys just said. King, what you asked for is impossible. Verse 28 saves the day, because there's a however there. Thank God there's a however, or this would have been the end of Daniel's tale. He says, basically, king, what you asked for is impossible, you know, so nobody could do it. And he says that to get the wise men off the hook. But then he says, however, and this is his saving grace, there is a God in heaven. Come on, church. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. Say latter days. There it is, the latter days, the days that we're in. This was your dream and the vision in your mind while you were on your bed. I want you to see what Daniel does here. He thinks of others before himself. He gets the wise men off the hook. He says, you know what? They couldn't do it. Don't be mad at them. What you asked for was impossible. Not even I can do it, really, good king, but there is a God in heaven. That however saves the situation. Now, what I want you to notice here is this. Notice how Daniel refuses right out of the gate to take any of the credit or any of the glory for the insight he acquired by the mercy of God. Yeah, yeah. Daniel didn't say, yeah, all those blowhards, they didn't know the answer, but, you know, I'm Daniel, I'm the man, and I got what you need, king, and, you know, I know all about your dream. I'm going to tell you in just a minute. Hang in there, big K, but, you know, I just want you to, no, he doesn't do that. He refuses to take any of the glory or any of the credit. There again, this is the good character that God is looking for us. Some of us are glory hogs. Some of us always want to be noticed. Some of us always, you know, overemphasize our own input or our own success. And I want to tell you something today. God can't use people like that. God won't use people like that because God doesn't share his glory with anyone. God's looking for meek and humble people who will let God get the glory. And Daniel's not taking any of the credit, not taking any of the honor of what he received from the Lord by way of mercy. He makes it crystal clear. This is not about my ability. I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just a conduit. You know, your request has been answered by the God of heaven that I serve. You and I need to be very careful about handling the glory of God. And you say, well, when would we do that? When we're successful, when we are prosperous, when we have great successes, when we acquire things, when we get positions and titles and piles of money, be very careful. God wants to bless us. God wants to increase us. But most of the time, our character cannot handle the amount of blessing God wants to pour out on us. Listen, we've got to be very careful with it. You know, this is the way it happens in Christian circles, that people take credit for the things that God does. Look, if I preach a message and you get saved, I didn't save you. God saved you. Amen? Maybe I'm talking to preachers now. We need to remember this. Oh, well, I led someone to the Lord. Well, the Holy Spirit drew him, and the Father drew him, and listen, you just facilitated the meeting. But look, if I preach and you get saved, God saved you, not me. If I lay hands on you and you get healed, I didn't heal you. Jesus healed you, amen. If I counsel you and your marriage gets better, I didn't fix your marriage. God did that. If I pray over you and you get delivered from bondage, I didn't deliver you. I want you to get this. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to tell us? I'm nobody. We need to stop making idols out of any kind of leaders, especially Christian leaders. Amen. God heals, God saves, God restores, God delivers, not man. Be very careful about handling the glory. Don't you dare touch it. I've been around the block. I know I look young. I use oil of Olay, but I'm getting old. I'm going to be double nickels this year. I've been in ministry for 31 years. I've seen a lot of preachers who couldn't handle the glory and took it for themselves, and they watched their families and their marriages and their ministries implode. Don't touch the glory. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. And Daniel is very clear, crystal clear, that right out of the box, it's not me. I don't want the credit. I don't want the glory. What I received was by way of mercy. Now, in verse 28b, there are three things made known to Nebuchadnezzar about his vision. And Daniel kind of sets up the pretext here for the king to understand, because God is answering the question of this heathen king's heart. Number one, the message that you received, Nebuchadnezzar, was from God, the God of heaven whom I serve. So Daniel wanted him to know that your message was from God. It is a prophetic message. What does that mean? It speaks about predictive things about the future. What did the king want to know? He wanted to know the future. So God in heaven speaks to him and gives him a prophetic message about what's going to happen in the future. In fact, most of the fulfillment of the things that were spoken to Daniel, revealed to Nebuchadnezzar, didn't happen in their day. They will happen in the future. That's why the book of Daniel applies to the last days and couples with the book of Revelation to answer the questions of what's going to happen in the last days. So Daniel sets that up in verse 29 and 30. Daniel's opening remarks about the king's dream or the king's vision serve to prove his authenticity. Listen to 29 and 30. As for you, O king, while on your bed, say bed, your thoughts, say thoughts. So Daniel knew where he was, and he knew what he was thinking. Your thoughts turned to what would take place in the future. Knew what he was thinking about. And who reveals secrets has made known to you what will take place. So Daniel gives some remarks here that lend to the authenticity of the prophetic gift that's in operation in Daniel. He says, number one, you know, I know where you were. You were on your bed. And Nebuchadnezzar must have been thinking, well, how do you know that? You weren't there. I was alone in my chamber. Yeah, Daniel wasn't there, but the God of heaven saw right into there. He knew he was on his bed. He knew he was deep in thought. He knew the thoughts he was thinking. He knew he wanted answers to the questions of the future. And the desired outcome was to know what was going to happen in the last days. God uses Daniel to reveal all that to him. Daniel couldn't have known it except by the Spirit of God. And so there again, God establishes Daniel's gifting and his authenticity. And now he's got Nebuchadnezzar's full attention. Daniel is not being coy or calculated with the king. He is genuinely humble. Say genuine. It is important with humility. I'm going to close this section down talking about humility more because it is the thrust of what we're talking about this morning. But Daniel is genuinely humble. Have you ever met someone who's humble, but it's fake? It's contrived. It's a show. They're self-deprecating, but they really, their egos are so big. Listen, this guy's genuine, and the king picks up on it. And it's a good thing he is, because I think the king's astute enough to know a faker when he sees a faker, because he already called out all the rest of them. Amen. This secret has not been revealed to me by any wisdom residing in me more than any other living person. Did you hear what Daniel just said? The most humble thing you could ever say. What is he saying? I'm not special. I'm just the average guy. There's nothing unique about me. I'm not smarter than anybody else. I'm not faster. I'm not more. No, there's nothing. I'm just a guy. I love the way he says it. The secret has been revealed in me. No wisdom residing in me more than any other living person. I'm not better than anybody else, King. That's humble. But he's saying, I'm not special, I'm not important, there's nothing unique about me, but you know what? The God I serve is beyond amazing, amen? You got to see this. This is, we're supposed to reflect the glory and give glory to God. We're not supposed to suck it up. And only humility allows us to do that. So Daniel is being very humble and very genuine, and the king picks it up. I'm not special. I'm just a regular guy. But the God I serve, Nebuchadnezzar, he's amazing. He knows all things. He's everywhere. He sees into your secret chamber. He sees your thoughts. He knows what's on your heart. And he's answered you today because of his great grace and mercy. Never underestimate the power of genuine humility in your life. Well, I got to be assertive. Well, I got to be bold. Well, I got to say my 2 cents. Well, I got to stand up for myself. Forget it. Be humble. Be humble. You know, most of the time we think we need to set people straight, give them a piece of our mind. I don't have any pieces left to spare. I'm keeping all I got left. I don't want conflict. I don't need to tell you off. I don't need to put you. Listen, be humble. And Daniel is humble, and that's why God's using him to do exploits. Never underestimate the power of genuine humility in your life. Stop trying to advance yourself and promote yourself and put yourself on the map. Listen, let God. Promotion comes from the Lord. Do your best. Be diligent. Use your gifts, and God will promote you. Blessing. Promotion, favor, and fulfillment all hinge on our ability to not be inflamed by our own pride. Do you know pride can rob our potential and steal our blessings away? Even when God brings favor into your life, our pride can short circuit, and what God meant to bless us winds up being, you know, lost in our lives. In 1 Samuel 15, 17, the prophet Samuel says to King Saul, who is the people's choice, he says something to him that is so profound and applicable to this point. Remember, God didn't want a king over Israel. He wanted to lead them and be their God. But the people said, no, give us a king like every other nation. We want to be like every other nation. Why would you want to be like everyone else when you could be the people of God? Why do the people of God want to be like the world when they could be the people of God? So they said, give us a king. And they picked Saul because he was good looking and handsome and rugged and he was tall and head and shoulders. He was above everybody and big old Saul. The people's choice. And this is what the prophet Samuel said to Saul after God had removed the kingdom from him because he would not listen. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own sight, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you as king over Israel? When you were little in your own sight, there it is. Come on, church, here it is. This is what we've been sitting here for all this time. Listen to me blather. This is the point. We got to be very careful to stay humble and not get too big for our britches, because the moment we do, we shatter our own blessings. Saul had the kingdom ripped from his hands. The Bible says, rent from his hand. And he winds up killing himself, falling on his own sword in a battle with the Amalekites that God would have allowed him to have victory over. But instead, because of his disobedience, he winds up committing suicide and losing his kingdom and his name and his son all in one day. Pride will steal our blessings away. Pride can kill us spiritually and physically if we won't humble ourselves at times in life. Hurricane Camille was set to hit off the Gulf Coast in Pas Christian, Mississippi. A group of people refused to obey the mandatory evacuation order and decide instead to stay and have a hurricane party. Have you heard about people like this? Amen. Pride can kill us. The local sheriff was unable to persuade the group to leave, and he wrote down instead their names and their next of kin as they laughed at him while he took the information. When Camille hit shore, her winds were clocked at more than 205 miles per hour. Raindrops hit with the force of bullets, and the waves off the Gulf Coast crested at more than 28 feet high. News reports the following day showed that the worst damage occurred in a little strip of motels, bars, and gambling houses in a little place called Pas Christian, where the people were having their hurricane party. 22 people were dead in the Richelieu apartments. Nothing was left of that three-story structure except the foundation. The only survivor was a five-year-old boy who clung to a mattress. Pride is lethal. It'll put us in positions that'll rob our dreams, rob our blessings, short-circuit our destiny, and even take our lives. You and I cannot afford to not be humble. Daniel was humble, and God used him to do great exploits. If we'll remain humble, God will use us to do the same. Let's bow our heads today. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this lesson and for this example of what it means to be a godly person. Father, no matter how much we're used and how powerfully we're used and how much we hear from you, help us to understand it's not because of us, it's because of your great mercy. And God, when you use us, help us not to touch the glory. Help us to be genuinely humble, to understand we should treat that as if it's radioactive because it's so destructive if we would take it upon ourselves. Help us, Lord God, to stay humble and useful in your presence in these last days, that we wouldn't look down on others, that we wouldn't look down on the lost, that we wouldn't look down at the world, but we'd reach out to them with love and mercy and extend to them the grace you've extended to us, just as Daniel did for the false prophets. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Give him praise this morning.